To understand Andrew Jackson, one has to begin not with triumph, not with politics, and not even with war in the formal sense, but with a world already soaked in conflict before he could fully understand it. He entered life in a borderland society where violence was not an interruption of daily existence but part of its structure. The backcountry of the Carolinas in the late 18th century was not a polished colonial world of order, drawing rooms, and inherited calm. It was raw, tense, unstable, and frequently unforgiving. Families built their lives out of uncertainty. Loyalties were contested. Land meant survival. Reputation mattered. Injury, insult, and danger were never far away. In that landscape, Andrew Jackson was not simply born into poverty or born into obscurity. He was born into a moral and emotional climate in which hardness often passed for strength and survival demanded a certain stubbornness of spirit. His origins themselves have long been touched by ambiguity, which is fitting for a figure who would later become both myth and controversy. Even something as basic as his exact birthplace became a matter of dispute. He was born in 1767 in the Waxhaws region, a frontier zone straddling the border between North Carolina and South Carolina. The uncertainty over whether he first drew breath on one side of the line or the other might seem like a small detail, yet it reflects something larger about the society that formed him. Borders in that region were not always clear in people's minds, and life itself did not move with the neatness that later generations often project backward onto the colonial past. The Waxhaws was a place where maps and realities did not always match, where settlement was advancing into contested ground, and where many families, including the Jacksons, were living lives shaped by hope, hardship, and constant strain. The Jackson family belonged to the Scots-Irish stream of migrants who had crossed the Atlantic in search of opportunity and security. These were people accustomed, by memory and inheritance, to political tension, economic pressure, and the hard work of self-making. They brought with them a culture that valued independence, family loyalty, religious seriousness, and personal pride. Yet those values were not carried into a settled paradise. They were carried into another difficult world, one in which survival depended on labor, resilience, and the ability to endure disappointment. Andrew Jackson's parents, Andrew Jackson Sr. and Elizabeth Hutchinson Jackson, were part of this larger movement of people who believed that in America a family might build a future that had been denied them elsewhere. Like so many migrants before and after them, they were animated by a mixture of need and expectation. They came not because the road was easy, but because staying behind offered little. That hope was dealt a cruel blow before the future president was even born. Andrew Jackson Sr. died only weeks before his son's birth, likely as the result of an accident while working to establish the family's place in the backcountry. The child who would later become famous for ferocity, defiance, and seemingly inexhaustible will enter the world already marked by absence. There was no father to guide him, discipline him, or temper him. There was only a household of women, brothers, and grief, held together by the determination of Elizabeth Jackson, a widow trying to keep her family alive in a demanding environment. This early loss mattered, not merely in sentimental terms but in structural ones. It meant insecurity. It meant emotional vulnerability. It meant that from a start, the young Andrew lived in a household where death was not abstract, where labor was constant, and where the margin between stability and ruin was dangerously thin. His mother became the central moral presence of his early life. Accounts of Elizabeth Jackson suggest a woman of force, endurance, religious conviction, and devotion. In the old frontier story of Andrew Jackson, she often appears as a figure of sacrifice, and though legend no doubt embroidered memory, there is little reason to doubt that she was crucial to his psychological formation. She represented discipline, faith, and family loyalty in a world where institutions were weak and danger was close.